I'm coming to the altar.
I don't mess it up.
There we go. So coming to the altar is really just a place where it seems so far away for someone who's a sinner, for someone who's lost, or even a saved person who is just going through something, because we're saved and we're not supposed to go through things. So this place just seems like it's too far away to get to. It seems like it's too far away to go to. But this is a place for sacrifice. This isn't just a place that you go up to and you cry and you sob, and then you go back into your car and you live the same life. But this is a place where you come up to the altar and you give it down and you say, God, from this night on, I'm giving you my all. From this night on, I'm giving this to you. And I'm walking out of this place changed. And I know that the next few days might be hard, and the next few days might be just a little bit difficult for me to get through it, but I know that you're going to get me through it because I brought the sacrifice. Yep. See, when you bring a sacrifice, he will meet you in those next coming days. And it seems hard, and it looks like it's so tough, and just getting up here is hard enough, but leaving it there, and then the next day you wake up, and you're like, I need that. I really just need that. And it gets harder and harder and harder until one day God says, I can feel that hole that you're using, that thing, that sacrifice, and I can feel that hole that's in you that you've been waiting and trying to fill with yourself, with all these things of this world.
Come on.
And I can feel that for you. That's what the altar is for. You guys didn't sit down, sorry. That's what the altar is for, and that song means so much to me, because as a youth pastor, I see the things that you guys are dismissed, by the way, from 2 through 5th grade. I see the things that they go through, and I see the hurt and the pain that they go through, that they put on a smiley face because they're struggling through it. Has anyone ever been there? Where you put on a face and you come there, and it's not that you're being fake, but you're just believing in something that doesn't look like it's there. So you put your head down and you just keep on going, and you just keep on moving and keep on fighting to get to where you're going. Until one day God shows up and everything gets a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better. And then you realize that you're not in this alone. You're not fighting this battle alone. You're not all alone in this thing. But I've come tonight to tell you that this altar is for you. Saved, not saved, struggling, not struggling, this altar is for you. And although it might seem so far away, it's only a few short steps, because if you can take two, the third one gets a whole lot easier. And then the fourth one gets easier. And the next thing you know, you're already there. It's just that initial step out of your pew. So I come tonight to tell someone that this altar is for you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Ephesians 6. Okay, same for the reading of God's word. We're going to go to Genesis as well after this. So Ephesians 6, 1 through 13. Very familiar. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Go to Genesis 2. That's the first book, so it's all the way in the front. Genesis 2, 6 through 7 says, and when the woman saw, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Reach your hands up towards me. God, I come to you right now, Lord, humble by the presence that we feel already, God. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing. I thank you and praise you because you are holy and you are righteous, God. I praise you because without you, Lord, we are nothing, God. But with you, we are powerful, God. I pray that you will just be with us as we go through the rest of this service. God, I pray that you will hide me behind your cross one more time, God, that you will be my mouthpiece, Father. Let every word that comes forth out of my mouth be filtered through you, Lord. Penetrate the lives and the hearts of your children, God. I thank you and I praise you because you are so righteous and you are so holy. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. The title of my message tonight is, Are You Marked by the Maker? See, in those scriptures, we're talking about the armor of God and how we don't wrestle against physical things. And I'm not wrestling against you. I'm not wrestling. You're not wrestling against your neighbor, but you're wrestling against things that you can't see. There's things in this world that are roaming all about, seeking who he may devour, the Bible says. And they're coming after your children. And they're coming after your family, your homes, they're coming after the schools. He's coming after everything that you think you want. Everything that God wants to make good, he's coming to make bad. And if he can get in your head and get in your heart, then he will begin to tear you apart from the inside out. Yeah. Amen? And see, we don't wrestle against your neighbor. We wrestle against that one who is named Satan, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says in Genesis, where we read, it says that God made every single man out of the dust of the earth. And he picked up that dust and he breathed life into that dust. So can we all agree that we're all made from the same thing? We're all cut from the same cloth. We're all made from the dust of the earth. But what we do with that, after that, is our choice. See, God gives us a free will to make decisions on our own. And I'm going somewhere, and it's going to get, you're going to be like, what is this guy doing? But I need you to just say, I'll hang with you until the end. Okay? I'm going somewhere, just hang with me. So recently, I have found a new love for shoes. Okay? A new love for shoes. I don't have anywhere.
There you go.
There we go. I found a new love for shoes. I love shoes, okay? These are not mine. I found a love for shoes, but my wallet does not love the price of these shoes. So my wife gets bargains, and I get bargains, and that's how we find my shoes. I borrowed these shoes. But for this, actually, I called someone, and he was like, what are you? You're not taking my Jordans? I was like, I need them. Just let me use them one night. I'll bring them back tomorrow. I just need them for one night. He was like, you're not preaching in my Jordans. I was like, I'm not preaching them. I'm using them. I was like, a message. He was like, what? I was like, just come on. If you want to hear what it is. But I found a new love for shoes, okay? I have a lot of shoes. I would say it's a lot of shoes, but some might not. I'm sure some have more than me. But I love Jordans, okay? Don't have any. Don't have one pair. But I love the way that they look, specifically these ones. The Jordan 1 lows, okay? Like, my favorite. You said you hang with me. I am going somewhere, I promise you. So, I recently found this love, okay? But what's the difference between this shoe and a shoe that you would find at Dollar General? I'm not knocking those. I've worn them. I have a pair. I think I do. Okay? Not knocking those. But what are the differences between these good shoes and the shoes that you would find at a different place?
The name.
Price.
The name. Okay. The material. Fun fact about Jordans. I was doing some research. Jordan gets their material from the same place that, what was the brand? New Balance gets their shoes from, which is the same place that Champion gets their shoes from, which is the same place that, Essential, which is Walmart's brand, they get their shoes from. The materials come from the same factory. The exact same factory. But when we look at these on the shelf, they just look so much better. They look so good, and they do. And you get them, and they match your shirt. You're matching, and you walk out thinking you're worth a $100 bill because you're wearing these shoes. Now, these shoes I really care for, too. I like these quite a bit, too. These are nice. Do you like these better? Okay. Yeah, they're shiny. They look good. These are for basketball. You can wear basketball. Jordan is the number one brand of tennis shoe in America. The number one brand tennis shoe in America. And their materials came from the same factory that all those other brands come from. But what's the benefit? What's the benefit? Because if you go and buy a pair of shoes from Walmart and play a basketball game in them, they're going to blow out. If you go play a basketball game in these, they probably will last you. There's a reason why they play the NBA players use them. But what's the difference? The materials are the same. The materials are the same. They're from the same factory. But see, when they go through the process of being made, they're just a little different. See, other shoes are made by a machine. The machine soles them. The machine stretches the leather, which, fun fact, not real leather. Not real leather. The machine stretches the leather, but when you see the Jordan logo on it, and you see that they're Jordans, and you get them from a Jordan store, you can rest assured that the process was done the correct way. That there was a man sewing these, stretching these, doing all the process that that machine takes the place of to make them look like this. And that's why they cost how much they do that my bank account cannot afford. See, the untrained eye would think that both of these are good. The untrained eye would think, that's a $200 shoe. That's a $200 shoe. I don't know how much they are. But if you're untrained, you would say that. But what would you say if I told you this right here is a fake? 100% is fake, not real. But on the outside, it looks real. On the outside, it looks like it's real. The outside looks like it was a real thing. But if you go play basketball on this shoe, it's going to blow out of it because the maker was different. The maker was different. And I looked up, I said, because I've never known how. But if you were to take this to SoulStop, some of you guys know what that is. Some of you probably do not. But if you take this to SoulStop and try to trade this in, they're going to be like, I can't take it. It's a fake. 100% a fake. And I was like, how do they know just by looking at it? Because they'll take it, and they'll do this, and they'll look at it. And the thing that it's missing, actually, I'll come over here. What's that right there next to the Nike? What's it say? You see the... That's right next to the Nike. There's an R.
Got glasses on.
Registered. There's a trademark. It's stamped. It's stamped. It's got a stamp on it that says, hey, this is real. It says, hey, this is the real thing. If you look at this one, on the inside, it doesn't even say Jordan at all. It says G-C-N-F-T, whatever that means. There ain't a trademark on this. Nothing real about it, but on the outside, it looks real. See, they were made by the same thing. They were all created by the same thing. We were all created by the same dust of the earth, right? God breathed life into every single one of us, just like these were both of these were made by the same materials, but it was a different maker that made them. And you say, I don't know why my boyfriend keeps leaving me. I am you, Pastor, just hang with me. I don't know why my girlfriend keeps leaving me. I don't know why I can't get my bills right. I don't know why my kids are running crazy. I don't know why my family's a mess. My finances are a mess. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I don't know why I'm doing all these things, but the prayer that you prayed the night before is, God, get whatever is keeping me away from you, get them out of my life. Whatever is keeping me away from you, get them out of my life. And then the next day, the boy goes, the girl goes, the finances seem to be getting a little better, but they go worse and worse and worse. But the thing is, it's not just the looks on the outside, but it took something to get this the way that it is. See, they had to stretch it a specific way. They had to double stitch it a certain way. They had to go through the process a couple of times, and then it's checked and rechecked and rechecked and rechecked. How many know sometimes as a Christian, you're going to go through some things? You're going to go through some stretching. You're going to go through some prying. You're going to go through some pushing. And it's going to look like it's terrible. Sometimes when the finance, when the bank account says zero and you got bills coming up, it takes nothing but faith to say, God, I'm standing on your word because I know you're going to come through. Sometimes when your kid says, I'm done with you, I'm done with God, and I'm leaving, and they walk out the door and you're sitting there bawling your eyes out, all you can say is, God, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your belief, knowing that you're going to come through. And this might just be the pushing or the stretching that's going to get my mark that you're going to put on me. See, without the trademark, it ain't worth $30. But when you put a trademark, it's worth $200. See, without the trademark, we can't do anything.
Right.
Without the trademark, the flesh and blood seems difficult. Without the trademark, the principalities begin to overtake us. Without the trademark is the reason why you stand up and you're up at night and you can't go to sleep because your mind's a mess and you can't get through the mess that's going on. Without the trademark, you get up the next day and it seems like you don't want to get out of bed. All you want to do is sleep because you're so depressed. But the moment that you come to the altar,
Amen.
And you say, God, created me a clean heart. That's what David said.
Yes, God.
Created me a clean heart. Take this that's in me, and I'm going to give it to you. God, I know that I've been depressed up to this point. I know I've been addicted up to this point, but I'm going to give it to you. And all I'm asking in return is that you will wash me clean by your blood and give me the trademark. Because the thing is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness and high places.
Yes.
But the Bible says that at the mention of his name, demons have to flee.
Yes.
And at the mention of his name, all the things that come against you have to go. Because once you get the trademark, they can't hold you back anymore. Once you get the trademark, they can't keep you silent anymore.
Yes.
See, the trademark is what makes everything worth it. Because if this shoe could talk, it would say, I know this hurts right now. I know I'm going through the pressing. I know I'm going through the stitching. I know I'm going through the stretching. I know this is hot right now and the glue's running crazy, but I know sooner or later there's going to be a trademark. Sooner or later the trademark's going to last and I'm going to be worth something. So I'll come to talk to someone that says that altar seems so far away, and I've been through too much to get to it. I've been through too hard of times to get there. I can't go up there. God doesn't want me. I'm too dirty. I'm too messed up. I'm not clean enough. I got to get everything right before I can go there. God doesn't want that.
Right.
Because that's what the altar is for.
Right.
That's what the altar is for. See, when they go to pick the leather out for these shoes, when they go to pick out the materials for the shoes, they pick them out in the same spot. And they're all dirty. They're all a mess. But the difference is when you go to the factory that this one came out of, they begin to clean it. Stretch it so that they know that it's that it will withstand the tests. The tests that this world will send at it. You say, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It seems like every time I take one step forward, I get knocked 5 steps back. Just hold on, because he's just making sure that you can withstand the tests of the enemy. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. See, God's not giving up on you. See, to the untrained eye, this shoe would be good. Because everything about it screams real. Everything about it screams legit. Everything about it screams that it's the real thing. But it don't have the mark. It can't withstand the test. You say, I don't know why that boyfriend left. I don't know why that girlfriend left. I don't know why my kids are doing it. See, they were tested. And they couldn't withstand it. But God can take anything and make it holy.
Yes.
God can take any heart and make it clean. God can take any child and bring him back.
Yes.
So keep praying. Don't stop believing that God's going to bring your child back, that God's going to bring your parents in. See, I believe that there's a revival that's happening. And I'm believing that there's a harvest going to come from it.
Yeah.
I'm not talking physically. I'm talking seriously.
Yeah.
I believe that we're getting ready to step into, not as a church, not just as a church, but as a body, into a revival that's going to bring back lost souls, that's going to bring back the ones who walked out and said, that person just said the wrong thing to me. The ones that say, I can't go there anymore because so-and-so said something about me. See, but they'll take it into the factory and they'll make it clean. They'll begin to work on it and test it and test it and test it until they have the proper procedure to get it to where it needs to go. And I've been there. I've been there where it seems like I'm never going to make it out. Where it seems like I'm never going to be able to get out alive. Like there's no hope left. See, when I was 18, I tried to commit suicide because I didn't see the light at the end. I didn't see any hope inside. I didn't see like there was, I didn't feel that God that I knew that there was, but little did I know I wasn't the real thing. I would come to church and I could play with the best of them. I'd sit exactly where April is with my mom. And I would play the best. I could play church the best. I'd raise my hands, I'd sit back down, I knew all the songs. I'd go up to the altar, pray, and walk back out in this world and live my life the exact same, not saved from nothing. Had zero desire, but I knew that if I was going to live in my mom's house, I had to go to church. And if I wasn't going to be nagged at, I had to play the part. So I went through the process of looking like a believer, looking like I had a relationship with God, looking like I was everything that I needed to be in God. If you would have asked my family, they would have said, he's good. But little did they know, I was going to parties every single weekend. Just about every Friday after the football game, every Saturday, and then I would wake up and come to church on Sunday. There was no difference in me and the world, except when I came in church and I looked like the real thing. But if I was tested,
come on.
I would fail. Because I didn't have the trademark. I wasn't the real thing. The materials were the same because God breathed life into the dirt. So I was made the same like Matt. I'm made of the exact same thing that Matt was, but I didn't keep that breath in me. I didn't allow the maker to continue to make me the way that I need to be to withstand the wiles of the enemy. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, the mark says that every thread has been tested. That everything that has glue on it has been tested. But if you would have tested me, and I believe that there could be some tonight that play a good part, and it looks like we're real. But when we get on our job, there's no trademark. When we get in school, there's no trademark. When we go out in this world and go to our house, there's no trademark. When we get around our boyfriend or our girlfriend, there's no trademark. There's nothing that says that there's anything like God except for a fake, cheap image of what He was and what He can do. So then you get tested. And you go through something. And you try to find it out. You say, God, I need you. God, I really need you. And it goes good until it goes good. And then you walk away because you're just a cheap image of what God's created you to be.
Yeah.
See, Psalm 66:10. Says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried or tested us as silver is tried. If you skip down to 19, it says, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. See, when I was a mess and I was playing church, I thought it was good. And I forgot that God really is God and that God will be there and He will hear my prayer. And it wasn't until I was so stuck and so numb in my basement in the pitch black that I said, I'm done with this. If God, if I can't feel you, I don't want anything. If I can't feel anything, then I don't want to be here. And I tried to take my life. I stood on top of that dryer with an extension cord around my neck and hung, wrapped around and tied to the rafters. And I stood on the edge of that and I said, God, if I don't feel you, I'm done. If I don't feel you, I'm done with this. There's no hope in this. There's no reason to be here if I don't feel you. See, I grew up in church. I grew up in the presence of God. I grew up in this every single Sunday, every single Thursday. But I had not grabbed a hold of what God was trying to get me to understand. And it was that night that I said, I'm done, God. And I took that next step off there. Because I said, if you, I don't feel you, I'm going to do it. And I didn't feel Him. I didn't feel Him at that moment. So I took that step. And when I took that step, the extension cord came untied and beat me to the ground before I did. And it was when I hit the ground that I felt the most peace that I've ever felt in my life. It was then when I felt like God has got me. And I slept on a concrete floor better than I had slept in 2 months. Because I felt that peace. I knew there was more for me than what I had seen in this cheap image. But if I would just give it to Him and allow Him to test me, allow Him to work with me, allow Him to move me, allow Him to take things out that don't need to be put in, then I would not just be a cheap copy image of Him, God, but I would be the trademark version of what He needed Connor to be. See, I was going through it, and it wasn't until last year I thought, I'm good with this. I got this depression under my feet. I got this. I'm good. Anybody been there? You think you got it all good. All good. Until we got news that the baby that Haley was pregnant with, our daughter was no longer breathing. That there was no heartbeat. And I don't get emotional. Just hang with me. And my heart sunk in my chest, and I looked at my wife, and I could tell that she was shattered. And we made our way to go get an ultrasound, and we believed the whole way there, this is going to happen. There's going to be breath in this baby. This baby's heart's going to start beating again, and we're going to have a testimony. We believed with everything in us, and we prayed the entire way there. And when we got in the room, there was no heartbeat. And I said, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to us? We sing on the worship team. We're youth leaders. Why are you doing this to me? What are you doing? You can do. I know you can do this. Why are you doing this? And then anger began to raise up in me. And we got home, and my wife wasn't talking. And she said, I'm not believing that. I'm not accepting that. And I said, okay, well, neither am I. She said, we're going to go tomorrow and to the exact same place and get another ultrasound. So we went, believing, and I prayed that whole night. I was up that whole night praying, believing that things were going to be different, that we would go there, and God was just testing us, and then we would come out on the other side. And we walked in that room and sat down, and the whole way there, I felt like my heart was in my stomach, and my stomach was on the floor. And the whole way there, I couldn't hardly breathe. It was silent, and we listened to worship music, but no one was singing. But we got in there, we prayed before we went in there, and believed that it was going to be all right. And we walked in there and sat down, and no heartbeat. And I said, God, what are you doing? But it wasn't until it was actually over that the process had happened and she had come that found myself in my room again in the pitch black being tested. And I still don't know why, but I found myself in my room in the pitch black with my wife upstairs. And here I am, and I say, God, I'm supposed to be the man of this household. I'm supposed to be a man of God. I'm supposed to get up in front of these kids and preach. And I'm still angry at you. And I'm still hurt by you. And I'm still struggling with why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. And I'm still struggling with why you did what you did. And depression just seemed to come back over me. And what I thought I was over found its way back to me. And depression came over me. And that spirit of suicide, I began to feel it a little bit more that night. My wife, I was hopeless. My wife was upstairs and there was nothing I could do. I felt like a failure because there was nothing I could do to help her. And I felt that deep depression come back over me, and those thoughts begin to come back in. But at that point, the difference between when I was 18 and when I was 29 is I had the trademark.
Come on.
That's right.
Yes.
I had been tested. I had gone through something. And I realized that this was not a physical battle. I can't see what's going on up there. And I don't know why I had to go through what I was. But I remember standing up in my room downstairs. And the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it also says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the testimony that I had was that suicide did not take me out, and depression did not take me out. And although the enemy came after my family, and the enemy came after my wife, and came after me and us as a group, and as a family that God had put together, as a family that prays and believes God for everything, gone through things, I had not gone through this again. It's yet the test was there, and I was tested in this, and I stood up out of my bed, and I said, it was a Thursday night. It was a Thursday night, I remember. And we stood up out of my bed, and I said, Satan, I've already defeated this. I've already been through this test. Do you not remember when I was 19 years, 18 years old, and I was sitting on the dryer on Lavender Lane? Do you not remember when I was standing there and you tried to come at me and you tried to get me and I was done with everything and God came in? He brought me out of that. I know that he's going to bring me out of this. I don't know why you did it, God, but I'm giving you glory for the testimony that I'm going to have after. This is just me in my basement. There wasn't a worship music. There wasn't even a light on. It was just me because I stood up and I got. It was when I was tested. And I said, I'm not staying here in this place and allowing the enemy to take me out. And I walked upstairs. And Jeff had said, hey, I understand you guys can stay home if you want. But I walked upstairs and Haley looked at me and she said, I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm not going to sit in this and allow it to eat me anymore. We're going to church to address. I said, good, I'm glad you feel that way. Because I feel the exact same way. I just prayed downstairs. But she was getting tested. Just like I was getting tested, the difference was I had the trademark. I had the trademark when the enemy came at me. So you say, Connor, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I'm dealing with this mess. I don't know why I'm struggling. Just hold on. Hold on, because God could be testing you to get your trademark. He could be testing you because you don't know what's on the other side of that. You don't know what's on the other side of that deep depression. You don't know what's on the other side of the mountain. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's no respecter of persons. So if he did it for me, I know that he'll do it for you. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean the pain's not there. I'm still preaching on, are you marked by the Maker? Because when you get marked by the Maker, there's a difference. When you get marked by the Maker, the enemy sees that marking and says, whoa, I gotta go. Because there's something about the blood of Jesus that still works. There's something about pleading the blood of Jesus that's still powerful. And when we got pregnant, when she got pregnant with Silas, it was every single week we went to an appointment, it seemed like. And every appointment we went at, my stomach felt like it was on the floor. But see, I was tested. And I said, God, I know you got this. I know you got this. So I've come to tell you tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what the enemy's throwing at you, but I know that God has got it. I know that God will get you through as long as you hold on to him. I know that if you will just come to him and say, God, I'm giving you everything, and I'm going to withstand the testing, because I don't want to be a cheap copy. I don't want to be one way in church and another way outside of church. And I don't want the friends that look like they're one way in church, but really are not deep down in the heart. But God, I want the real thing. God, I want the trademark. I want my friends to have the trademark. I want my boyfriend to have the trademark. I want my girlfriend to have the trademark. I want my kids to have the trademark. I want my mom, my dad to have the trademark. I don't want to just be a cheap copy of what I can be, but I want to be all that I can be. See, because when you begin to come to church and you give everything to God, he'll begin to give you everything that you need to take care of everything that he needs you to do. And that's where you got to go. Because when you say, God, my emotions are out of the way. God, my feelings are out of the way. It's no longer about what I want, God. But what do you want? What do you need from me? What do you need to get out of me? See, a lot of things that people struggle with when they come to God is they're like, I can't get saved because I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of this and get rid of that and get rid of this and get rid of that. The Bible says that he will take care of that. That when you come to God, the only thing he'll ask of you is to Ask for forgiveness and give him your best. Wake up every day and say, God, you're getting my best. And I don't know how long ago, Jeff preached a message about moments. And it stuck with me my entire life about how if you don't look at every single day as days and minutes and hours, but you look at it as moments. When you have a bad moment, have that bad moment and then go on to the next one. And he doesn't even realize how much that's helped me and how much it's helped kids. Because I'm not going to bust her out, but I was walking through school one day for SCS, and there's this girl there. Just looked at me. She comes to church here, and she started crying. And I was like, what is going on? She was like, I'm having a moment. I said, well, have your moment and move on to the next one. Like, God's got you. He will get you through this. Move on to the next one. But moments are only moments. Don't allow them to become seconds and minutes and days and months and years, because then next thing you know, you're no longer at the altar and you're backslidden and you haven't came to church in 4 months and 6 months and 2 years and 4 years. The next thing you know, you're fully outside of the world. But God has got you. He's got your moment. He's testing you to get you to where you need to go. So tonight, if they want to come to the music, I'm going to do this just like I would if it was youth group. So tonight, if everyone will say, tonight, with every head bowed and eyes closed. It's okay, don't worry about it. Don't look over here. You're good. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Not one person looking around. See, I believe there might be some people in here. Say, Connor, if you were to look down into what I'm made of, if you were to look down into the depth of my soul, you would not see that trademark. You wouldn't see love. You wouldn't see the trademark that says that I'm the real thing. But I'm hurting. I'm broken. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm suicidal. I'm addicted. I'm bound. I don't know what's next, but I can't go on living like this. I can't continue to go on like this because it hurts too bad. I don't know who this God is that you're talking about, but if you say that he did all that for you, and I know that I'm going through that, I would love to give him a try. If that's you and you say, I don't know who that God is. I don't know who that God is that took the suicidal thoughts away from you. I don't know who the God is who took the depression away from you, who took the addiction away from you. But I could really use that God right now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand real quick. No one looking around. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. No one looking around. Okay, tonight. you say, Connor, I was being made, but it was the testing that got me. It was the testing that got me, and I seemed to walk away. And I've lost my way, and I'm no longer following God. I'm no longer living with that trademark. But I've walked away. I've got good news, because the Bible says that he's married to the backslider, which means he has a covenant with you.
Yes. Amen.
It means you might walk away from him, but he's not walking away from you.
Amen. Amen.
You might have given up on him, but he hasn't given up on you, because he knows what you're made of. He knows what the end of it is. He knows what the end of your story says. He knows what the end of your pain looks like. So you say, Connor, I know who God is. I once was saved, but I've walked away from him. But I want to find myself back at the altar and give my life back to him. I want you to raise your hand. No one looking around. Thank you for that hand. Okay, tonight, if you say, Connor, I'm struggling with losing people. I'm fighting with going through this testing, and I'm fighting with dealing with the mess of this world. I got the trademark, but it seems like everyone I love is walking out on me. And I don't know why. But I don't know if they got the trademark or not. If that's you tonight, you say, Connor, I'm saved, but I'm still going through the testing, and it hurts, and I just need God to help me. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Okay, so here goes the hard part. Remember in the beginning I said that this altar was open. I remind you that the second step gets easier when you take the first one. Then the third and the fourth and the fifth. So tonight, if you raised your hand for anything, as they begin worshiping, I want you to get out of your seat and come up here. Don't hesitate, because that gives the enemy room to work. Don't hesitate, just come on up. You're not the only one. Come on up.